Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, August 23rd. I'm Ray Graff. Most of us, I would say a great, great percentage of us, have some contact with computers, either at home or at work or both or in the car or whatever. You ever get irritated by computers? I do about 48 times a day. Well, I'm in luck today because a guy is here to help us answer our computer questions. It's Tony Yang, operator of Albany-based Gig Computers. If you have a question about computers or technology, now's the time to call 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Laptops, personal computers, mobile devices. Tony Yang is here to answer your questions right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here today to answer your computer questions is Tony Yang. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company began as a hobby in college, quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for numerous companies, including this one. They range from a few computers to many hundreds. Always great to have Tony Yang on this program. Tony, welcome back to Vox Pop.
Ray, great to be here again. Thanks for the invite.
Our number is 800-348-2551. If you have a perplexing issue related to your computer, 800-348-2551 is the number, or you may email us at voxpopwamc.org, voxpopwamc.org. Again, the number to call is 800-348-2551. Don't know if you saw it on the news. The DNC was quite concerned. The Russians, they said, were hacking their system again, and it turned out to be something of a false alarm.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't get the second part, but I did see the news on the DNC reporting that whole hacking activity to the FBI. I guess the FBI did their job and found out that it's actually somebody that they hired.
It was a third party that somebody hired connected to the Democrats, I think, in Michigan. And they were checking the system. And now explain to us again what a phishing attack is.
A phishing attack typically involves an email or a pop-up on your computer. So you may get these emails. I think a lot of people get these emails these days. You will get a link that looks like it's from your bank, for example.
Yeah.
In the case of the DNC, it was an email that was related to work. So if you click on that link, you sign in with your actual user ID and password,
right,
the real stuff.
Yep.
Onto a fake website that records that information down, and
yep,
now the hacker has the user ID and password to log into your network.
And it's pretty successful many times, I'm told. And what is the best way to guard against that when you are the user?
Well, the PC usage, just vigilance is important. You will never ever really get an official, let's say iOS email that tells you to log in,
right,
and check up your account.
Right.
Unless you initiated that process, it's unlikely that your bank or any government-related entities would send you an email out of the blue asking you to log in and create a user ID and password.
Right.
So if you are unsure if this is a legitimate email, it probably isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I would highly recommend not hitting that button. And just delete it and put it in the deleted folder.
And how does one tell if the link is not, in fact, an accurate link? When you're looking in your email and it says, click here, can you look and see, okay, this URL is not correct? Or should you, in fact, just not click the link and go to the, if you're a client of the bank, let's say,
yeah,
log in directly typing the URL in, and then see if there's a message for you there?
That is a great, great point right there. So when you get an email and there's a link on there that says Bank of America,
right,
if you just move your mouse cursor on top of it, it will actually display the underlining,
right,
hyperlink to that site. And you're going to see many, many, many times that it's some mysterious site that's not even US-based.
Yeah.
So yes, there is a way to do that. Just be careful not to click on it, but you can move your mouse cursor on top of it, and it will display the link, the actual link behind what the visual is.
Tony Yang is our guest today. Computer is on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. We go over to Jake in Wilmington, Vermont. Jake, you're on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Jake.
Hey, question. I've recently gone from a rather small apartment to a large house, and I've taken my Wi-Fi equipment with me. Now, I'm having issues, obviously, and I can't get the Wi-Fi signal in most parts of the house now. So my question is, how can I extend my Wi-Fi range with and keep my my network secure at the same time?
Yep, Jake, you are dealing with a problem that a lot of people have in larger apartments or larger houses.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, within the past couple of years, companies like Netgear, Google, believe it or not, have their own Wi-Fi system now designed for large apartments.
Google does.
Yes.
Oh, wow. They're into everything, aren't they?
And it's not, you know, you would think these things are expensive from a brand name like Google, but I think it was about $300-$400.
And what do they do?
You get three or four of these units.
Yeah.
And you spread them out throughout your house. It covers up to like 10,000 square feet of space.
Yeah.
And you will get excellent Wi-Fi signal by using their system.
So it's a repeater of some kind?
It is a repeater, but they have made it so that you get no loss of bandwidth in between the initial AP plus the repeater behind
it. How do they do that? That seems like physically impossible.
Yeah, I know. But these Google engineers are pretty good. Now, on the commercial side, when we set up, for example, these large dormitories with thousands of students around, what we do is we will put in these enterprise level access points all over the campus. The thing about that is you have to have a hardwire line to each access point.
Right.
Their system, Google's and Netgear's, and actually a whole lot of other vendors out there are producing these. They make it so that it is just a wireless repeater, so you only need one Ethernet connection.
Now, how does the security work for something like this in a home situation that, for instance, Jake is in? Mm-hmm.
The security is actually going to be the same as a hardwire unit. Now, of course, it is wireless. You will absolutely want to enable minimally a WPA2 encryption.
Mm-hmm.
Put a strong password on there. Don't use birth dates. You know, don't use your house number or your name. But if you put in a decent password and use WPA2, you're good to go. Nothing that we know of at this point, quote unquote, nothing that we know of at this point can hack the WPA2 encryption.
Jake, you want to follow up?
Yeah, thanks for that. So the house is covered. That sounds good. What if I wanted to extend my Wi-Fi range out to my garage from my house, and the distance from the house to the garage is probably beyond what these devices are capable of? Is that something I should hardwire?
Hardwiring it is always the best way to go. However, if you are way out there, and let's say you're a few hundred feet away,
yeah,
and the Wi-Fi signal just doesn't reach, hard wiring it would be the first option, and we always recommend it as the number one thing to do.
Expensive, though.
Expensive. But, you know, sometimes it is feasible. When it's not feasible, your only other option is getting a point-to-point wireless connection. Now, those actually work well. We actually have one here at WAMC.
So it's a Yagi antenna or directional antenna? Is that?
Yeah, a very, very focused directional antenna.
Mm-hmm.
We have a link from here to Greylock, 46 miles out.
And that's a dish, I would assume.
Yep, it looks like a DirecTV dish, but that thing just runs. It runs every day, and we've been using that for almost close to 10 years.
All right, well, that's the kiss of death, Tony. You know it'll go down in about 20 minutes now, but all right.
But you can get an inexpensive
26 miles, but that's perfect.
Yeah, so you know, if you're just a few hundred feet away, a few miles away, as long as you have the secret to this is you must have a line of sight.
Correct.
So as long as you can see from your house to your barn, one of these inexpensive point-to-point units for a few hundred dollars will give you a few hundred megs of bandwidth.
And of course, with a point-to-point, I would assume one will experience not difficulty, but it'll take a little time to point those antennas directly at each other.
It does take it. Yes, it will take some time to line those up. But most of these point-to-points have a built-in meter, so it will beep very, very loudly when you aim it right, and it won't beep at all if it's not getting any signal. So, you know, you got tools that can help you doing that.
All right, JK, good luck with that, and call on a future show. Let us know how you did.
Will do. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the segment.
Thanks very much. 800-348-2551 is the number. Tony Yang is our guest. 800-348-2551. Tell you what, let's take a break right now, and then we'll get back to the phones. It's a Vox Pop Computer Edition. We'll be back. Computers today on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551 is the number, 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is the guest, and this one came in via email from Mark. Why is it that the Lollipop operating system on my smartphone won't allow me to save apps to my micro SD card? There are no apps in the Google Play Store that will help. Older smartphone operating systems do not present this problem. How can I get the Lollipop operating system to do what I want it to do? And that's from Mark.
Huh. Mark, I don't know of an answer to that, because Lollipop is not any different. I mean, I have it on a couple
of
phones.
It's an Android operating system.
Android operating system. I save stuff all the time. You might be dealing with something else. I don't
configuration issue. And I must say, now I don't know what my kids' tablets are on. They're older, and we have micro SD cards in, and I'll be darned, I could never save an app to that either. And it must be something Mark is doing wrong and that I am doing wrong.
Oh, an app.
Yeah.
I missed that. Okay, I'm thinking data.
No.
All right. So, yes, most programs, actually, you can only install it at the default location. There are some programs that will allow you to install it on at an alternate location, but installing it on an SSD card.
Yeah. No, okay.
It's not an option, as far as I know. Wait. Yeah, Mark, I'm gonna research that and get back to you
Good.
On that.
And when you have an answer, Mark and I'll both be interested.
Yeah.
All right, Tony Yang is our guest, and we'll go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Aji in Hudson. You're on.
Hi. This is in reference to what you said before about not clicking on any emails that you get from banks, etc. And it scared me to death, because I get an email every month from my bank that says, here's your monthly, whatever you call it. And I always click on it to see what happened with my account during the month.
So, yes. Yeah. So what I think your situation is a bit different. I mean, if you know you're getting a monthly statement from your bank, then you're probably fine clicking on that. But I would just want to make sure that that when you move that mouse cursor on top of the link, that it is taking you to Bank of America or TD Bank, whichever bank it is.
Right.
So we were more talking about these mysterious emails that you would get out of the blue, unexpected things.
Saying there may be a problem or this and that, and log in. And
that's right.
Go ahead, Aji.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. But now, do you know what Tony's talking about as far as mousing over the link and making sure that it's legitimate? Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good rule of thumb, as long as you don't click the link first.
Yes, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
And thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Gene in Monticello. Gene, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
Tony, my question is this. In the past, when I've purchased a new desktop computer, new PC, and then moved all the information from the older computer to the new one, there wasn't any problems because I was working on the same OS, Windows OS. But I'm planning on purchasing a new desktop that has Windows 10, and the existing computer is 7 Pro. So in the past, we used to use something called copy drive or drive copy. Mm-hmm. So is that a problem, and how would I do it? And also, one of the ways that I did it in the past was I offloaded the information to a backup drive that is connected by USB and then populated back into the new computer. Do you have any ideas?
Yep. Hi, Gene. You shouldn't have any problems at all moving data from Windows 7 to Windows 10. They actually both run on the same file platform, NTSF. So you wouldn't have a problem using either the disk copy program or the file copy program that you've been using, or a USB drive. They should be fully compatible with each other. The one thing I will mention is you may need to get an updated version of the software that you've been using, because the older version may not be compatible with Windows 10. But I suspect if you run it on Windows 7, you could probably use it on Windows 10. You're going to be fine.
So it's a good idea for me to just use the backup exterior drive, put everything on there, and then load that into the new computer. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
That's the best way?
That's usually the best and the easiest way of going at it, yes.
All right. So both of the OS is not going to fight with each other.
No, you should have no problems at all. It's very, very seamless.
All right. Is that the methodology that you use in the shop, or for example, or you use the software?
Gene, you want me to give out our trade secrets?
No, I don't know about that.
No. I don't want you to give out any trade secrets.
All right.
You're telling me that, yes, there are a couple of options, right?
Yeah, there are many different options. And we do use some specialized tools, but rarely. You know, we use some of the stuff that, some of the same stuff that you guys would use out there. And that includes a USB drive.
All right, Gene, thanks a lot for the call. Have a good one. We appreciate it. And we go to Corey at Albany. Corey.
Hi. My question is about location services coming from my router, my Wi-Fi router at home. We got a new router a while ago, a month or so, and now all of our devices have no idea where they are physically. If we open up maps on our iPad or phone, it just there's no idea where we are. And I can't figure out how to get it to know where we are.
Huh.
What do you mean know where you are? You mean in
Albany?
Well,
if we open up maps, for example, iPhone and click the little arrow that says, you know, go where you are, it just sits there and spins, and it says location cannot be found.
So is there a location services button if you go into the DMZ on a Wi-Fi router?
Not that I know of. I mean, location services are basically, they're based on two factors. One, the location of your IP address, which is usually assigned geographically throughout the entire world, actually.
Yeah.
That's not particularly accurate, because it will only give you information up to a certain area.
Right.
So you can judge an IP and go, you're based out of Latham, but not on a particular house number.
Right.
The more accurate way of doing it would be your GPS. And I don't know of any router that actually blocks the GPS signal on devices. So I don't know.
It's confusing.
A bit confused about what that potential issue might be.
Is he running? Could it be that he's running a VPN?
Ah, good point. If your router has one of these VPN services, their whole purpose is to make you anonymous.
Right.
So if you're running a VPN service, it will give you all kinds of different reports. Except the one that's at your house. So that could be the problem. If that's not the issue, then maybe the GPS is shut off on a device,
or it could be
some factor maybe I just don't know about.
All right.
But most GPS locations are based on IP address, which will give you approximate location, and GPS that's in your device.
All right, Corey.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Tony Yang is here today. It's Computers on Vox Pop, and our number is 800-348-2551. Mary Ellen in Wilbraham. Mary Ellen, you're on.
Yes, my grandson is going to college next week, and I've offered to buy him a computer.
Nice.
He's going to be a computer science major. And I wondered if you had specific recommendations for what to look for when we go shopping.
Oh, well, you'll spend a fortune there, Mary Ellen. Good for you.
Well, Grandma's has to be good for something.
Mary Ellen, I'm sure he's going to ask for a gaming machine.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, these
what?
A gaming machine, a machine that's very fast and tailored for, you know, playing Fortnite and whatnot.
Oh, well, his mother might kill me.
You betcha. You betcha.
Okay.
I don't have any. No, I don't know if I can recommend it, anything
well,
in particular.
Well, give two or three. Then.
But you know, there are lots of good. I'll point you to a site where you can get great deals. Techbargains.com. They always have
what
these.
Is it?
Tech, as in technology, bargains.
Yeah.
Techbargains.com.
.com, right.
Okay.
And they every day, actually on an hourly basis, there are these incredible deals all the time. Most of it are from Dell. So you know that's a great brand. You got HPs out there as well as many, many other computer manufacturers. What you want to do are you know just stay with a few minimal configurations on a on a PC. At this point, you will want at least an i5, so an Intel i5 chip.
An i5 chip,
right.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The CPU. You will want at least 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay.
8 gigabytes of RAM, check.
And I would definitely get them at least a 512 gig or more SSD drive.
Oh, he needs a terabyte.
He needs a terabyte.
He's a computer science major.
Yes.
Come on.
Get him a terabyte, Grandma.
You know what, Mary Ellen? Why, you know, is it going to be a surprise?
No.
Why don't you just ask him what his specs are? He's the genius.
Yeah, well, I've been talking to him all summer.
Oh, really? Oh, he's one of those trouble kids. I get you. Yeah, I got a few of those myself.
And you would recommend a PC over a laptop, I assume.
What? The laptop will probably be a better choice for a college student.
Yeah.
That way they can move around.
But they're pricier, right?
They are a little pricier, but you know the mobility is priceless.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would definitely get a laptop instead of a desktop.
You're a nice grandma, right. Mary Ellen. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye now. 800-348-2551. You see that? That's nice.
That is very nice.
You know, I guess when you're going to college, you need the laptop. But I always save money by buying the towers. At my house, you get a much more bang for your buck with a tower.
You do. The norm these days, if you look at most schools that require you to buy a PC before you go to school, it's almost always a laptop.
Yeah,
because they want you to bring it to classrooms, sit there and take notes on it, or just you know.
Right.
Take online lessons and stuff like that.
It's pretty amazing. So. I mean, the technology now, I have kids in middle school and high school and stuff, and they all get Chromebooks. It's amazing. I mean, we used to take notes. I had notebooks, spiral notebooks full of notes, and it's all on the Chromebook now, the homework assignments. It makes it very easy for parents to check up and see if Junior has been doing his homework.
That's right.
That's one good thing for those helicopter parents out there.
Yeah, these engineers at Google, they're smart. They put this Chromebook together so that it's all really geared to academics.
Yep.
And they get their younger kids
through
high school. All of these services are given free.
That's right. They get them hooked.
They
come
get
on
you
over
hooked.
Here. The
oh,
first one's
yes.
free, right?
Best marketing strategy there is.
All right. Our number is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest. We go over to Karen in Kingston. Karen.
Hi there.
Hello.
I suddenly lost all of my, I will call them sub mailboxes on my laptop, and I don't know what happened to them. So that's what I'm trying to figure out, how to get them back.
Are these sub-mailboxes, or are they folders within your mailbox? In other words, you might have sent mail and...
No, they're sub-mailbox. They're an actual mailbox where I separate out, you know, different things, political things, church things. You know, they have their own little mailbox.
But it's all one email address is what I'm saying.
Yes, all one email address.
Okay, you should be able to retrieve that.
So,
or
yeah.
I have two email addresses, but...
So you're missing subfolders within your mailbox.
Yeah, I guess that'd be what they call it then.
Yeah. You know, it is very easy to literally drag a mailbox and not even know about
into it. Another one.
Into another one.
Oh, that's it.
It happens even on just a normal desktop computer. When you go into the Windows Explorer, you could accidentally drag a subfolder and throw it into another folder and not know... Have no idea that you just did that. So I'm sure it's there
the
somewhere.
Time. You know,
well,
that's a good point.
I'm talking 6-7 different folders, and they're nowhere. I mean, I know what some of the things are that are in there, and they are nowhere on my computer.
Are you using Microsoft Outlook?
No. I have a MacBook Pro, and I'm using High Sierra.
Okay. The I suspect that it is on your laptop somewhere. Sometimes, you know, if you run what I've seen in the past is if you run an archiving program, for example, to archive all of your old emails, and sometimes it could be doing that automatically. It would just pull these subfolders away if you haven't touched it for a while into an archive file.
So look
somewhere.
For an archive.
So that's, you know, that's one possibility. I'd be willing to bet on the fact that it's on your computer somewhere, so you haven't lost it. It's there. I will recommend you not put additional files onto your computer until you recover it, because you know if you didn't necessarily accidentally delete that and you put additional files on it, it could overwrite the actual record.
Karen, I wonder if in fact you could, and I don't have a Mac, but on my computer, my Outlook, if I lose something, I will try to search the entire email box for, like, if I know I got a letter from Joe Smith, and I will search for everything from Joe Smith. And sometimes if they're in a subfolder that's hidden, they'll appear, and then you'll go, oh, that's where that folder went.
It's a great idea.
Okay, something to try.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Yeah. Okay. Could it have gone could I have somehow sent it up to the cloud and it's up there someplace?
Oh, the cloud.
The infamous cloud?
Yeah, it's possible. However, you will normally get a pop-up or a notice on your computer that it's doing that. So if you haven't seen that, the chances of that happening is probably not real big. I'm thinking it's on a local computer somewhere and you can search it. But like I said, don't store any more things onto your computer until you get a chance to recover it. Most files that you delete, they're in the computer somewhere. You just got to find it or undelete it.
Oh,
yeah, but if you don't but that's the thing. I mean, I didn't delete these things myself.
Okay.
I mean, they're all, you know, they're...
Could there be... Did you do an update? Was there an update on your operating system?
That's what I'm wondering, if it was after that. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and see if that was it.
I wonder if there's default setting that somehow says view folders, and you unclick it, and you're not seeing the subfolders.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, I do backups, so I can... And, of course, we have the time machine, so I guess I could go back into that and maybe see... I don't know. Maybe if I can find them there. I don't know. I've really never used that. I've never had to use it before, and it kind of scares me to try it. Then if I do go back, does that mean now that anything that I have on here now that's come in the last few days, I'm not going to have anymore?
Well, the time machine would give you an option of either wiping out what you have currently or just merge it. Together.
Oh, okay.
So I think you're going to be fine with that.
So you're not panicked about this at all, Tony?
No, not really. I believe
good.
I believe the information is there, and do a couple of things that Ray just mentioned. Search your mailbox, see if you can find any of the emails within the mailbox. It might just be hidden. It might be a view setting on there.
All right.
Take a look at the time machine and see if it's actually recording on there somewhere.
Karen, we got to move it along, but thank you very much for the call. Tony Yang is our guest. Janet in Warwick. Janet, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I know I'm 99.9% sure this is a virus, but it's this woman with a British accent that comes on and keeps saying, "This is Microsoft. Call this 877 number because your spyware has been..." all your financial data is going somewhere.
Oh boy.
And what I just do is I turn the computer off completely. And I don't know how do you get rid of it? I do have a virus, programs on there that's supposed to not have this happen, but obviously it's not working, or I have the wrong kind or whatever. So I don't know it's saying Microsoft. I guess it's trying to pull you in.
You bet.
Oh, yes.
But I try to click out of it to delete it, and it won't. So I just turn the computer off completely. Is that what I should be doing, or?
Yeah, no, I think you know, I think you did the right thing. The I will just log back in, update your virus software, and scan the computer thoroughly. Make sure you use the full scan
not
versus
the quick scan.
Just the basic scan.
Right.
You know, download Malwarebytes. We always tell users to download Malwarebytes.
It's free.
It's free.
I think I have that. That's because I brought it to a repair shop in the area, and they put that on. And it only comes up sporadically. Maybe it, I don't know.
Yeah, the free version does that.
Yeah, and the free version you'll want to update.
Virus.
Okay, you'll definitely want to update any virus software that you have. Before you run the scan.
Okay, I've never done that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you do the virus scan with the updated definition, get it updated first, scan it, and then get Malwarebytes and scan that. That usually 99% of the time those two combined together would do the job. You are absolutely doing the right thing, which is to not click on it and call that number because
that's
a total scam.
All right, Janet, thanks a lot. We'll have to take a break here. Tony Yang is our guest. Computers Today, 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Back we will be. And welcome back to Vox Pop. Ray Graff here. Number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest, and we answer computer questions. This one came in from Jan via email. Oh, boy. My question is about WAMC repeatedly going off and buffering when I listen on iPhone and iPad. I only live 2 miles from the station. How can I prevent this? Thanks for your help. I'm going to need your help because I don't have this issue on my iPhone. Every now and then, maybe once a month, once every 2 or 3 months, we'll get somebody who says this. And I think it's a browser issue. I really don't know what it is, but I never get this on my iPhone. I can listen for a long period of time.
Yeah.
if I wanted to.
You know, these issues are more common when you're actually moving around because you're on your iPhone or any mobile device, you're either running on the cell signal, or you're running on the Wi-Fi signal, and because it's wireless, it's never 100%,
right?
So you could get buffering because of that, and sometimes the websites could be busy that's broadcasting the signal, which I don't think is the case here at this.
No, we're
radio
never
station.
Busy. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Never.
It's public radio. There's like three people.
So I'm not surprised that these things happen. If you watch a movie on Netflix sometimes, it will buffer.
Yeah, I don't know, Jan. I mean, again, we might get one every 2 or 3 months of the thousands who are listening, and I can't figure it out.
On mobile devices, unfortunately, it is one of the common symptoms, and it really could be just a number of different things.
All right, let's go back to the phones. John, who is on the road. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, John.
Just a couple of comments. Grandmother called in about buying a computer for her son. Her grandson is going off to college.
Yeah.
One thing you didn't suggest that I would recommend is that especially if he's going to study computer science, he check with the computer science department to see what they're using there.
You make a great point.
Great point.
Because if he goes to a campus that's, say, Mac-based, and you guys recommended a lot of PC, Windows-based systems, if the campus is totally Mac-based, he's going to be at a disadvantage.
Hmm.
So that's the best thing to do is check with the campus and find out what they're using, what the computer science department recommends.
Yeah, that'd be a great point, John.
Excellent point. Thanks, John.
The other thing is the person who was afraid of using Time Machine to find the file that she lost.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. I've lost files, and it's real easy to go back and the file from a particular date.
All right.
It's no problem.
Thanks, man. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Tony Yang is our guest today. And we go to Jean on the way to get her computer work done. Hello, Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello.
I have a repair question. The on-off button on my computer, it's down and it won't pop back. Is my computer done or can this be repaired?
Oh, yeah. Gene, the push button that's on your computer, that's nothing. Your computer is absolutely not done.
I mean, oh, good.
That button is, you know, even if you got to buy brand new line for it, it's only just a few dollars.
Oh, terrific.
I'm thinking there's probably dust stuck in there, and that's why it's not popping back out. But that's a simple repair.
And you're already on the way to have it fixed. But what I would have done would be to get a can of that spray air and first spray it, and then open the computer if you can, and spray the back of it, and chances are it'll end up working for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're on the way. You'll have it fixed by the end of the day.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Well, that was easy.
That was easy.
Hope we're right. Over to Marta. Hello, Marta in Cooperstown.
Hi, guys. I'm calling because I got a weird email from two separate guys at the end of last month. And the only reason that I knew it was spam, but both of them had one of my passwords in the address line.
Don't worry about it. That was in the news.
And demanding money because they've caught me on a porn site.
Being very naughty, Marta. Yes.
Yeah. It was so weirdly kind of stilted language I've got a pixel. Oh, so I missed it on the news, obviously.
Well,
I ignored it.
It was a very small piece on the news that I saw somewhere, and you know, somebody somewhere got a list of old usernames and passwords somehow.
Yeah, it is an old password.
And they're just trying to threaten you. Just ignore.
Okay, good. So I was wondering how widespread this was. But if it was in the news, then I'm not going to care.
It's all over the place.
I didn't care to start with.
Yeah.
See, that's what I get for not listening. Thank you.
Take a deep breath. You've been okay. Thank you, Marta.
Oh, I've been okay. I adored it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good one. 800-348-2551. Yeah, you can always see on a lot of these threatening spam kind of messages, the English is not quite right.
Yep. Yep. That's a telltale sign that there's an issue there, and you know, sometimes it may sound very, very legit, like the Microsoft pop-up.
Right.
It looks completely legit, but it's not.
Right.
Don't click on it.
It's somebody in the back room in Latvia having a laugh. All right, let's go to Joyce in South Fallsburg. Joyce, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I have a question about a tablet, Samsung S2 tablet. I keep getting requests from the tablet, as far as I know, for updates, but it doesn't. The first request keeps saying software update, and then I get other requests saying system update, and I don't know the difference between a Chrome update and a Google update. I'm like confused beyond belief. So it's been so persistent. I'm not on automatic update because I've had problems with when something gets update, things go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So this time since the tablet has been so persistent, I just pressed update and I updated whatever it was requesting. And I would like to know, how do I know what the update was for? I don't see any difference in anything.
It is confusing sometimes, isn't it, Joyce? It sounds to me like there are two things happening. One is the operating system, which is Android based, wants to update the OS itself, and then when it comes to Chrome is your web browser, and that has its own separate update. So you're talking about two different things here. Although it's manufactured by the same company, they do have separate security updates. So my advice to people about updates is, especially on these tablets and mobile devices and phones, when there's an update, just go ahead and download it and get it updated.
Now, this is funny because it's in strict a contrast to your corporate policy where you say, I'll never do the updates.
Right.
And the reason why we say that is because in the past, these updates, most of these security updates that Microsoft releases on a daily basis, or sometimes on an hourly basis, do not apply to our corporate users.
Ah, so a corporate user would be a different entity completely.
Right. So what happens is what we've seen in the past is that if you just run the updates on corporate desktops blindly, it will create, as many users have experienced, when you do the update, things stop working all of a sudden. So we don't recommend that across the board for everybody.
Right.
But for home users, definitely the way to go.
Tablet, yeah.
All right, so do the updates, Joyce.
Do the update, and now, how do I know what the updates were? I looked at about tablet, you know, where in the settings and it says about tablets, and it looks like the numbers are still the same, 7.0, and I don't know. Mm. One more question.
Okay.
And then are there separate updates for each app?
Yes,
there are. I know it gets even more confusing, Joyce. So, if you, as long as you recognize the names of the software that's on your tablet, run the updates. You'd be much better off doing it that way.
Okay, got it.
All right, Joyce.
Thank you very much.
All right, good luck.
Advice, and I'll keep listening to the program today.
Thanks for listening, and thank you for calling. Our number is 800-348-2551, and Tony Yang is our guest. We go to John in Cairo. John, you're on.
Hello. Hi, Ray. Hi, Tony. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, John.
Good. I was just calling because I'm a Mac person as well. In fact, I've been working with PCs and Macs since 83.
Yeah.
And the Mac question that the lady had about the disappearing mailboxes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Apple has this funny way of doing it that those mailboxes are listed under, for example, I've created a new mailbox that comes in under my name, John. Mm. And if I hover my mouse over it, there's a little show or hide. And if I hit show, I can see all the mailboxes below that. Mm-hmm. If I accidentally hit hide, it looks like there's no mailbox.
Okay.
Yeah, we thought it might have been a view issue somewhere.
That's cool. Well, that's great. So all then she would have to do, if she's still listening, is go over the name, and it should there should be that option to show them.
It should show right to the right of it, a plus or a minus, and show or hide.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Man. Thank you for the call very much. Let's see, who has been waiting here for a long, long, long time? Oh, I love this one. Gail and Oneonta. Gail, you're on.
Yes. I have a computer I want to get rid of, and I was wondering how I can remove personal information.
Ah, the old Hillary Clinton question. Yes?
That's right.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so the only sure way of doing this is if you bring it over to a recycling company or a professional, you know, IT repair shop, they will use these either software or hardware that will get onto the drive and wipe every bit of data.
Can't you just reformat the drive?
Reformatting, believe it or not, is not 100%.
Really?
Yes. You actually, unless you do a bit-by-bit format, which will take you a day, 2 days sometimes.
Really?
If you want to be 100%, you basically scratch the drive itself, or you do a bit-to-bit formatting.
So in other words, physically take an axe to the drive or just...
Basically that.
Scratch it so that it no longer can function.
Yep.
Well, Gail, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good luck, and we appreciate it. Let's go over to Robert in Schenectady. Robert, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question about a Chrome on iOS issue.
Chrome on iOS issue. Okay.
Every now and then I get a white pop-up. It might say you've won something or Amazon customer. And, it's obviously a scam pop-up.
Yeah.
But there seems to be no way to get rid of it other than deleting the app and then reinstalling the app.
Hmm.
I've seen that happen on even like newspaper websites and stuff. If you're looking on your iPhone and you're looking at an article, it'll say, congratulations, you're the 1 millionth person on the site. Spyware, right?
Sometimes it's pay advertising.
These
sites have to make money one way or another. And if you're using, for example, free versions of software, part of the deal is you get these pop-ups from their advertisers that pay them to
it's annoying, though, isn't it?
It is annoying. It's part of business, unfortunately. But I would definitely just scan your mobile device to make sure you got nothing funny on there. But these pop-ups, it's part of life these days. If you pay for the software, then you won't get that. But if you go onto these websites, or you've installed any free software, pop-ups come with them as part of it.
Well, you would figure, Chrome is a pretty reputable app. So really, to get rid of that pop-up, the only way to do it is to delete the app and then reinstall it.
You're on your mobile device or your home device, Robert?
A mobile device.
Yeah, I've never seen it on Google on my home device, but yeah, I've seen it a lot on reputable websites. They pop up.
Yeah, even the mobile devices, these things. And it's not Chrome that's doing it. It's not Google that's doing it.
Right.
It's the actual website companies.
Right.
And these application companies that are incorporating this as part of their whole strategy.
Ain't life grand, Robert?
What's that? It is. It is fantastic.
Yeah. All right, man. Sorry about that.
Right.
Have a good one. Thanks for listening. Well, appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
By now. All right, quickly, we'll go over to Catherine. Catherine, you have about a minute here. Catherine in Schenectady.
Okay, it's, I guess it's, hello at first.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
But it's a personal preference maybe, but I have a MacBook that I've had for 10 years, and I really like the little chubby machine.
Yeah.
And I went to look at some new ones because I know I'm just really, teetering on the edge of something really happening. I need to buy a new one. But I'm dismayed by the lack of USB ports on the new Macs. Is this just the wave of the future and I just need to buy one and get over it?
No USB ports?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how does that work, Uncle Tony?
Now, you're saying on the new MacBooks, there are no USB ports on them?
Yeah. Or maybe there's...
Yeah,
there's none. There is a... I'm not even sure what they said, like MP3 or something plug-in.
Yeah. But
then, of course, your cord.
Yeah, there's always... So the latest USB is a USB-C.
Okay.
That's the newest
thing. Maybe that's it.
What does it look like?
It looks... it looks like a mini version of the old USB.
Oh, so C is for compact, perhaps? Okay.
There usually is some type of a USB connection. And USB is, as of right now, the future.
It is the future.
It is the future.
Well, that's definitive. A definitive way to end the program. USB is the future. It's Tony Yang. Thank you for being here, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Support comes from Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, practicing aesthetic plastic surgery, working to help people improve their appearance and well-being, offering cool sculpting treatment at more, CAPEKplasticsurgery.com. Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 48 years, providing companions aids at nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, interimhealthcare.com. Round Lake Auditorium, announcing their summer season of music, art, and theater performances, celebrating organ concerts on the 1900 Pipe Ferris organ built in 1847, roundlakeauditorium.org. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com. Thanks again to the great Tony Yang of Gig Computers for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the wonderful calls and the emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Deb Malik for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Amy Halloran returns. Oh, she's always She's a fire plug, that one. Amy Halloran returns to talk about flour and all sorts of breads and such. Right now, stand by for news.